Welcome to this episode of Off Script. I'm Will.
And I'm Ashley. Totally. And we're here to talk about the full disclosure of what it takes to thrive in real estate. And today we are talking a little bit about work-life balance and real situations that happen and just how to balance the chaos of what people feels like this is a 360 job.
Yeah. Perfect day. Honestly, I literally just forgot my name. Sorry in this because we're starting so fast. We're going to have a different approach this episode to where it's not all put together and perfect like you might see like on other podcasts and different things of that nature. And today we're running behind. We're running late, basically, like always, I feel like. And so we're going to discuss what that's like, you know, running a real estate business, but also being an agent with kids and relationships and all the different friends, all the different things that we deal with.
I think you got to, I see just straight chest right now. Do you think you got to button your shirt a little bit there? Perfect. Okay.
All right. This is our, okay, we're good. We're moving. We're rocking and rolling here.
Straight skin and chest over here. Well, you're I didn't know if the camera was going to just, you're naked angle. From this angle.
Okay. All right. So why is this topic important, Ashley?
Well, so you don't go insane. No. I think like real estate got a lot harder once I had kids, and we have kids, and I hear a lot of times from agents, like, how do you balance it as a busy mom? And how do you do this with children, especially young children under the age of 5 or 6 that still need a lot of time and attention? Because as we all know who work in real estate, when do most of our clients need something?
It's right. In the evening.
In the evening and on the weekends. And that's when all of our time is getting pulled with our family life as well.
And then you have to make the decision, and then the guilt sets in on either side. So we're going to talk about how we manage that.
Yep.
How would you describe our life right now?
Oh, man. I would describe it as chaotic and fun. And like, I feel like we're in a really good mental space of just enjoying the process. I definitely think it ebbs and flows, like mental state of when it's chaotic. Sometimes it feels like the whole world's falling apart. We can't do anything right. We have so much on our plate. But I think in reflection, what we talk about and what we've learned is it's always going to feel like that, at least in the phase of life we're in right now with a 5-year-old, a 5-year-old, an 8-year-old. We have littles. We're obviously busy running a business. We both work in real estate. And it's, I don't think there's been a moment in the last 2 years since we've worked together that we've said, it's not chaotic.
Yes.
So I think that is just like our norm, and we have to accept reality that nothing's ever going to be complete. Nothing's going to ever check off all the boxes at the end of the day. There's always going to be more work to be done. And that's because we push ourselves so much.
Well said. Thanks. I think it really is a mindset thing, right? Like, funny, my therapist actually said this to me, like every 2 weeks I go in. I was like, we have a lot on our plate right now. So it just seems like there's just a lot going on. And she's like, there's not been a single time in the last 2 years that you haven't said that.
Yeah.
So is there, or is there something, a different way? Can we approach this in a different manner?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's probably life for anybody who's listening, watching, and has a family. I mean, in any career, this is transferable anywhere. But if you work a full-time job and have a family, life always feels chaotic because there's always so much you have to be doing with for your kids, things outside of that, scheduling doctor's appointments, whatever it is you got to do. And then you feel like there's so little attention and time that you can actually be present and just spend with them because you're spending all of your time either at work or coordinating stuff for your family life. Yeah. So we've really had to figure out how to make it like all become one and work for us and like blend the two together.
Yeah, it's actually a huge reason why working together made the most sense. There's no reason to build two separate things and come home and build one vision, right? So us making that decision to work together, we've learned a lot for sure. We've had a lot of ups and downs. We'll talk about those today as we kind of go through this. But I really feel like the reason this conversation is so important is because everybody kind of deals with this. Like if you can look back at, I was in real estate before being a father. And even then it was like a lot on my plate, can't keep up with everything. And then to throw family and kids on top of it after that is we know what it feels like.
Yeah.
And to go through every stage of it when you don't have kids, when you do have kids and they're little. And right now, like you said, 5, 5, and 8, and they need a lot of attention. And dealing with their, you know, their emotional needs of what they're trying to grow in has been a challenge for sure. But I think that everybody kind of deals with the situation no matter what, if they want to find success in any industry, but also real estate specifically.
Yep.
Okay. So we're going to talk first about the emotional toll that this can take on you. And like how you may feel. So like what emotions are showing up most for you, like in the season that we're in right now?
When I have my bad days, I would say for me, probably frustration and even like a little bit of anger. I have a super high sense of urgency and I always want to get everything done. And I'm a people pleaser. And I feel like currently more so than not, because we have a huge, huge project, if you will, or thing that we're working on that we're going to announce here soon in a couple of weeks. But that's taking up a lot of time. And so I feel like for me, I'm getting pulled in a lot of directions, whether that's from agents on the team, systems and operational questions, things about where we're going next and planning for that, on top of still trying to maintain everything with my clients. And I struggle with that because to me, that's like my number one priority when it comes to work in the real estate side of things, is the clients over meetings and all of the other stuff. And so when I feel like I'm spread thin and I'm letting somebody down in every single bucket because we have so much going on right now, like I'm my worst critic and I'm really hard on myself. And so I get super frustrated, super angry about that, and like kind of do a little bit of that negative self-talk and can really get in my head of just feeling like I'm failing at everything and that nothing's going right. And it's really just easy to get into those headspaces sometimes if you don't have the right people around you to pull you out of it.
100%. Yeah. And it's easy to go to that space for a long amounts of time too. Mm-hmm. I think for me, guilt is a big one for me right now. Mm-hmm. Cause as we all know, as you get more busy in your work life, mm-hmm. at home, like that's where things start to struggle or sacrifice. And we do have like a big, like you said, project coming up that in a couple weeks that we'll be announcing. And so putting all of our effort and attention towards that mm-hmm. has been pretty taxing on our mindset and our energy, which yeah. then at home, what happens when you're overly stressed at work, right? You're more irritable mm-hmm. and you're probably not the best version of yourself as a parent in certain moments. You're like, I should have handled that differently, yeah. which then floods me with guilt because you're mm-hmm. like, why did I say that way? Why did I model that for them the way that I'm getting frustrated with them for things that I'm doing, right? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that's been a big one. But also just like a sense of like, this is right.
Yeah.
So it's been like really, really interesting because there's like the back and forth of guilt. And then this is how this is supposed to be going. There's lessons mm-hmm. to be learned and all the guilt and all the different things that we're feeling so that we can help others, but also know that the path that we're on is just how where it's supposed to be.
100%. I feel like guilt too, if it's something that comes up that I have to prioritize over family, or you and I do a really good job of communicating, like, this is what's happening right now. This is what has to be done. Is there any other way to do it? Otherwise, I'm going to have to miss this or mm-hmm. have coverage for that. But that mom guilt kicks in and it's so real. It just kicks in if you experience it yourself. I just feel really, really guilty if I'm not at everything or can't be at everything or present in the moment for all of those things. Like, I really beat myself up for it.
Yeah, I think what you said is huge. Having conversations around what's happening currently, can this change? And mm-hmm. most times that's the question that we just completely ignore, mm-hmm. is that we put everybody in work first. And not that our clients are not the most important piece of our business, for sure. But of our life, mm-hmm. what's our most important piece,
yeah,
right?
Family.
It's our values, and it's mm-hmm. our family and our kids. And then work is what we do so we can provide for them. And I think oftentimes we get that flipped completely. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I have to do all these things for these people. And then our family and our mm-hmm. kids and our friends and everybody around us are the people that sacrifice the most.
Yep.
And so we've had constant conversations around that. You never get it perfect. Mm-hmm. But can this situation change? Can we do this at a different time? Can we move our schedule around? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is no, we got to figure it out. Mm-hmm. If the answer is yes, then obviously we have to make that work some way, shape, or form with the idea yeah. moving forward that the kids are only going to get more busy. Mm-hmm. Sports and all their activities and events that they're going to want to go to. So we're planning ahead. Like, how can we get ahead of these things, mm-hmm. find leverage, and then have the right conversations of, okay, this didn't go well. How can we not have this happen again?
Yeah.
I think that's been big.
Yeah. The only thing I would add is if you don't have kids right now and you're listening too, I hear that a lot. Like, I can't imagine doing this with kids. Like, I'm not having kids. I'm not ready yet. Or I'm not going to do it because there's no way I'd be able to do this career like with them. And I just feel like that's so not true.
Yeah.
We have found more success than ever in our career since having children. So for us, that's not the case. And I think it just comes down to mindset and what you choose to prioritize and how you prioritize that time. And I think if you're prioritizing the right things, then naturally a lot of things start to fall in place for you.
Yeah. Well, listen, at the end of the day, we happen to be in leadership roles. So for us, there's two similar like through lines of the two lives, and that's we're helping develop people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we can find success in our career and find time to be present and model what it should be like because we didn't get that. Like, no. Right? Like, I feel like that our parents' generation was just like
workaholics.
You have to do this. This is what society is. Mm-hmm. And there's a different way of doing it. As we figure this out, we've got to help them understand, hey, when you're having this emotions, this is how we deal with things. So I think it's sparked a lot of good in our family because they're seeing and how to model mm-hmm. success, hopefully that a way that we think is right. Mm-hmm. And teach them the different lessons. Like, hey, I'm stressed because this is happening at work. And now Will is finally to an age and the boys understand mm-hmm. it enough, like the littles, who are both five, but Will's like, and now he's like, what's going on with this person at work? And like trying to understand really what's going on so they mm-hmm. can understand our emotions too.
Yep.
So, okay. How has this taken a toll on our relationship? I guess we've touched on this a little bit, or our personal well-being.
I mean, it can be stressful sometimes. I mean, that's the truth. Like, I'm not going to lie and sugarcoat it. I feel like in the beginning it was easy because we were in the honeymoon phase. So even though it was probably the same amount of stress and chaos going on, probably more actually, because we were blending a family and like, that's way more difficult than running a business as blending a family and children and like the dynamics of that and figuring that all out. But we were in the honeymoon stage of it all, right? So you're a little bit more like, all right, I'm not going to let that bother me. And this thing's not going to irritate me once you're
no control.
You know, yeah, you're not. But now I would say like, I feel like it does take a toll on us sometimes, but we always come back together stronger from it. Like we'll have our moments and our fights and our bickering, and those happen during high stress times. And specifically, yeah. Usually for me, if I'm, I kind of trigger that in the workplace. I would say if I have like 14 things going on with all these different clients, like when I get really, really stressed out, I recluse, I shut down, and I want to be alone and like handle the world and take it on myself. And so I think that can create conflict in a relationship with somebody like Will, who really likes to talk things out and verbalize it, which is a healthy thing to do. But I'm just such an internalizer and want to like shut down. And so that can create conflict in a relationship because he wants to help. I don't want help. I'm not allowing help. And then it can kind of snowball from there.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like as we got through that beginning phase, like for me, blending the family was like, this is the easy part. This is people, emotions, kids, and really? We're guiding them.
I thought that was hard.
And for you as business, yeah. You're like, this is how things should go here. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, there's always a battle of control, right? Like, mm-hmm. No, this is how it should go. No, this is how it should go. And yeah, I feel like it definitely can be stressful at times. Mm-hmm. But for me, not being in sales, there's been times where I'm like, I've been in the industry for 10 years and like I overworked myself mm-hmm. in like the upper half of my 20s to where, you know, like I was just, that's all I cared about was just working. And I realized like I wanted to make a change in that. And so going on the flip side, I have this like weird in between of like, you don't have to do it that way. I didn't do it mm-hmm. that way. And then the other side is I have to have grace of like, there's so many things that people asking you for certain things. So I battle with that quite a bit of like, how to give grace, but also know it doesn't need to go this way, which yeah. sometimes will cause arguments or fights yeah. for not understanding maybe what you're going through. But spouses, mm-hmm. if your spouse is in sales or in real mm-hmm. estate, like there's important to have a ton of grace around like how many people are asking them for how many things.
Yeah.
And at the same time, like still can hold firm to like your values. Like mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be the way it goes when it comes to clients, right?
No. And I think that's all just a perspective shift too, because, you know, my life is so different now, how we operate and running a team and our structure and the model. It's so different than when I was a solo agent. So I have to like place myself in the mindset of a solo agent, because that's like most people probably listening to this or even on a team. Like, I think one of the struggles a lot of agents deal with, and I did as well, is you feel like everything is on you and it's all up to you if you don't have leverage and you don't have a team or you haven't like changed your perspective of, I have to be the one showing every single home to my client. I have to show up on photograph day and micromanage the photographer and videographer. And I and a lot of agents, like, they place so much value in themselves and how important they are. Not that you aren't important, not that we aren't important, But like the clients, again, we've said this so many times, they just want a standard, right? They want you to sell their house for top dollar and do it in a way that's easy to them. And they are paying for a standard. They're not necessarily just paying for you. Mm-hmm. And there is that relationship there, but you don't have to do everything. Like that is such a perspective change for a lot of people, is we place our value in the fact that we did it all and we showed up to every showing and we're part of that. And if I leverage anything out, my clients aren't going to think that like I'm the best agent in the world because I couldn't be there for every single aspect of their journey and their transaction. And like, that's our own thing internally that we have to figure out, yep. or you have to figure out as a person, because if that's the mentality that you have, you are going to be stressed out the rest of your life because clients will consume your time. Yep. And if you have more than three or four of them at a time, all hours of the day, at nights and answering calls and this high sense of urgency that you have to be the one who's answering and available for everything, it will run your life.
Yeah, 100%.
Sorry, I went off on a tangent there, but it's so true.
It's perfect.
No, I mean, it really is. And that's like how I lived at first, was very like reactive, mm-hmm. high sense of urgency, like a ping pong ball or what, you know, I just felt like it was like, okay, who needs this from me? Now I got to go deal with this. Like constantly you feel like you're a firefighter and you're putting out fires because you're not in control of anything. Yep. You're letting the clients run everything, or like that your perception of how you think they feel about you matters so much that you feel that you have to do it all.
Literally my favorite line that every agent says is, what are you doing throughout the day? I'm just putting fires out.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is going on here?
Right. And I can't imagine, I mean, where I am today, like if I functioned that way, yeah. I would be working 20-hour days. Like there's just no possible way that, I just ran my numbers yesterday, sold 34 houses this year and we're in April. There is no possible way that I would be able to do that if I was doing it all myself, wasn't leveraging the team, and cared so much that like that I had to be there for everything. And guess what? Like none of those clients care. They are like, oh, you still sold my house. Your team's amazing. They handled everything. I set expectations and you set it up that way.
Right. Because I mean, you've built leverage, right? If you're not, if you don't have all these things, here's the one thing I can tell you. If everything goes perfect and nobody's ever had anything bad to say about you, you're not reaching your potential. Like plain and simple, yeah. right? Because you only grow once you realize like, oh, I'm at capacity and things are starting to break or people are starting to get frustrated with certain things, which is totally okay, by the way, because you can get through frustration and build a much stronger relationship with your clients by having something mess up and seeing how you deal with it. Like, oh, this went wrong, was out of their control, but here's how they dealt with it as an agent. You can build so much more rapport with them through that and you'll have referrals for life. Number two, if everybody's going, if like I said, if everything's going perfect, you haven't reached your capacity.
No. And then when everything feels like it's going chaotic, I've talked about this several times on here. Like my biggest advice is go time block and reflect on what you did the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if you're really in this state of chaos in your business, whether you're on a team or a solo agent, you just feel like I'm on this hamster wheel and I can't get ahead and I don't feel like I have any structure or strategy to what I'm doing. Go time block what you're doing for the next 2 weeks and figure out, if that's not something that impacts you selling a house, how do you leverage that out? And it could be something as simple as, I spent 18 hours last week showing houses and I missed a lot of time with my family. Okay, go figure out a way, if you're not on a team, to go partner with another agent, pay them to show houses for you, and set that expectation with your clients when you're not available. Yeah. Like there's solutions to everything, but you have to figure out a way to get ahead of it so that you don't get so overwhelmed and to the point where then you don't make good decisions about how to move your business forward because you're so in it. Mm-hmm. And then it's hard to pull yourself out of it and think clearly of how you can actually come up with a solution to like move your business forward and not just plateau and stay in the same cycle for years.
Never have this happen again.
Yeah.
That's what you should be thinking, right? Oh, I don't like this feeling. It should never happen again.
Yep. How do I prevent it next time? And then just get better.
Person or system?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go. Person or system. You simplified it. In two words, that is the solution to literally everything when you're feeling stressed. Either hiring a person, leveraging a person, or creating a good system and process that you don't have to repeat the same things over and over again and keep duplicating things.
If it happens more than once, that's the time to start thinking about it.
Yep.
I'm thinking everybody's first hire should be a firefighter. Who can be the firefighter for you, right? Like, we got to figure out what those activities are. You're always fighting because they never go away. Mm-hmm. Just constant firefighting is what you hear from agents.
Oh, and then probably the third one would be a coach, because I got to put my plug in for that. And if you're like, I don't know how to do these things, that's okay. Because I think we're oversimplifying it probably by saying a person or a system. And it's easy to be like, well, what the hell does that mean? Like a person or system here, I have like 40 different problems. Where do I start? Then go talk to a mentor or somebody that is doing better than you and has somewhat figured it out that you can model after, or go hire a coach who has proven success that can, who's also done that, that can show you what to do and tell you, here's what your next hire is or what system you need to implement with this specific problem in your business, because mm-hmm. it is a different solution for all of the different problems.
Yep. Yep. 100%. Let's go through some situations you were talking about, like specifics that agents deal with. Mm-hmm. What are those situations? And then, I don't know, we've come up with some solutions on maybe how mm-hmm. to think of them or perspective changes on them.
So I would say the biggest thing that I hear just in, like, you know, coffee conversation with other agents that they struggle with is, I mean, with the time is, and family is usually the biggest thing, like balance and feeling like they're not making it to their kids' soccer games, or I'm showing houses every single night of the week. So when my husband's at work all day at his 9-to-5 job, if they don't work in real estate and I'm showing houses at night, like, I never see my spouse and I never have quality time with my kids because they're in school all day. So when I see them, I'm gone. So I would say that's probably the number one thing that I hear.
Yeah. What about how do you approach this? Nobody can meet till after 5.
Oh, well, I think that is, again, mindset. I think that's in your mind that we have created this perception that every single client works a 9-to-5 job and that they're not available to go look at houses till 6 or go to a listing appointment. And even if they do work a 9-to-5 job, we don't take the time to ask if there's anything else that they can accommodate. And I used to be afraid to do that. So mm-hmm. I think the solution to that is you just have to have the courage to, like, take a little bit more command over your schedule and be professional about it. But, like, hey, do you have any lunch hours, or is there a time we can meet on Friday over the lunch break? Or, you know, after post COVID, so many people have flexible working hours that, like, most people are working from home now. They're Zooming. Like, if you just ask the right questions and ask about their work life, I would say, I mean, I don't know a percentage, but you know, Will, I mean, you live with me. I actually don't do hardly any listing appointments at night. Mm-mm. Almost every single one of my listing appointments, and I go on about 2 every single week, is before 5 p.m.
Yep.
It's rare that I do a listing appointment after 5.
So, maybe 4.
Yeah.
Bleed into 5:30, but
Yeah, 4 to 5:30 at the latest is, like, I'm home, because I figure out a way to prioritize that we can get it done during the day, and I set that boundary for myself, and I was afraid that somebody was going to not work with me because, like, no, I can only meet you at 6 o'clock at night, and I think I've done that, like, 2 or 3 times this entire year of, like, the 2 a week I go on, and there was extenuating circumstances for why, but if you just ask and tell them, like, hey, I have this with my kid at 5:36. Is there any way we can accommodate during the day or on your lunch break? They make it work.
100%.
And they still work with you.
Those situations you're talking about are generally because they found a house, they got to get it on the market within this amount of time, and that's the time that worked for you.
Yeah.
It came back to what works for your time. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like COVID, I kind of debunked this whole thing. Like, now people are working from home.
Yeah.
And we all kind of take breaks during the day. Like, it's totally possible to have all your appointments during the day. Now, showings, I can understand at times are different. But when it comes to listing appointments and buyer consults, mm-hmm. you can schedule those during the day. Every mm-hmm. professional is open. Like, you know, like, you're not scheduling a meeting with your banker at 7:30. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right. Because they're open from these times to these times. Mm-hmm. And it's not that you have to be that rigid, but you can still have those standards of, like, hey, I value my family time, so I don't meet during these times. And if a client isn't okay with that, mm-hmm. are they a good client for you?
No. And honestly, I have not lost one client in the last year from setting boundaries and asking for that. And I think you're right. The only times that does happen where it feels a little bit more urgent is they wrote an offer on a house and we have to get their house on the market, like, immediately. So we have to meet, get a plan together, and, like, really get the ball rolling. But what a great, if you're experiencing that a lot in your business, perfect example, what a great time to reflect on that and be like, okay, this is an expectation conversation now with clients moving forward. Hey, what happens often is we don't want to take the sit down time to do a buyer consult and a listing appointment. You're going to start looking for houses on Zillow. You're going to find the house of your dreams, and it's going to feel really rushed and really chaotic, and it's not going to be a smooth, enjoyable process because we're going to have to do it this way instead of what I found when I do X, Y, and Z with my clients, blah, 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 and insert your spiel there.
Yep.
And so that's what I do even before I set listing appointments with people or when I'm on the phone who are pushing back or objecting to a listing appointment that are 6 months out. Mm-hmm. I share those exact examples. And it's totally fine if we're not listing for 6 months, for a year. You can make that decision. But here's why we meet now, because this is what I don't want to happen to you. And I frame them and put them in a headspace of, if this happens to you, how are you going to feel? And it's really, really stressful and kind of like almost leered from a, I don't want to say a place of fear, but like place of doubt in their mind of, I don't want to experience in that. So let's avoid all of that and save a lot of time and hours by meeting now.
Yeah. I think we like just like the setting the appointment and finding a time, we're so afraid of getting a no that we won't ask questions that are real and authentic, right? Like, hey, I do all my listing appointments in the afternoon. Can you make 2 o'clock work? We wouldn't even ask that because we're like, how does six work on Thursday without even asking what may be good for them?
You run your business, you run your times, you have control of your hours. And is there 3,000 other agents out there that are going to meet them at 7 o'clock at night? 100%. But I promise you, they'll have so much respect for you when you have respect for yourself and set boundaries and have like values and some type of boundary over your family time. Like people will respect you for that.
Yep. Yep. What about prior, like the 5 million messages we get a day from everybody, right? And still finding a way to prioritize moving your business forward.
Yeah. So I'm not perfect at that at all. That stresses me out sometimes because I am like a check the box person. But one thing that I have found is if I wait a few hours and I just don't respond right away, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to respond to all my messages after these meetings at noon instead of doing that thing where you're like, you know, not being present with the person in front of you, or you're sitting in a training in CE and you're texting. I think that's so rude and so disrespectful. I really, really try to be present in that. But wait a few hours. And if you have 20, 30 text messages, same thing. Probably 10 to 15 of them are going to figure it out and they've already resolved their issue before you've even stepped in on it. That has been like my biggest time hack is people are very solution oriented. They will figure it out themselves. And if not, then you can step in and help there.
Yeah. That was a lot, probably a couple months of our initial coaching when we started coaching, that was getting you to understand, like, you don't have to answer within 4 seconds.
Yeah, not everything is urgent.
Because that's where the reactive ping pong ball, I think, analogy that you said was. A really good rule to live by, whether it is your lead generation and follow-up or it's your family time, is to ask yourself, when you're getting that call or the fire pops up or you get the email, text, or call, would you leave a listing appointment to do this? And if the answer is no, hey, Mr. or Mrs. Seller, I have to leave because I'm getting a call right now. If you wouldn't do that in a listing appointment, you shouldn't do it in your lead gen hour and with your family. And if you live by that, guess what? Within that hour, 2 hours, whatever it is, they will 9 times out of 10 either figure it out or they can wait.
Yep.
So it's not something where you have to, you know, like ignore your clients, or you're not saying like, don't get back to them. It's allow people to try to figure things out first on themselves and then step in when you're needed.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're 100%, if you're struggling with it now and you're, you know, your goal, I imagine everyone listening to this is wanting to get busier and wanting to do new business, like figure it out now, because the busier you are, if you don't figure that out, like it will 1,000% run your life, and it will ruin relationships. It will ruin marriages. It will, I mean, any career though, that's not just real estate, anything that you're doing. If you fully dive into work and it takes over everything, everyone around you is going to know that's the only thing you prioritize.
Yep. And it, like you said, it'll ruin relationships. It also is the cause, the 100% cause of the up and down in real estate. You get a couple deals and then they take over your whole life because you're putting fires out, dealing with them. And then you look up one day and you have no money coming in. Right. And so you've got to find a way to prioritize those really, really important blocks on your calendar, family, lead gen, whatever the other things are in your current season that help you move forward, and ask yourself that question every single time, prioritize it, then deal with all the other stuff.
Yep.
Cool. I think we covered everything.
Wow. We did.
Okay, cool. We have some really big announcements coming in the coming next 2 weeks. So please look out for those, and we'll see you next week.
All right.